Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you can all be with us. And boy, oh boy, we are gathered together, and all of a sudden, we are already halfway through the month of September. It's just a breezing on by. But as we come closer and closer to the official beginning of fall, we just want to remember a couple of things. First of all, we've had quite a week in terms of people being hospitalized. Now, all of the people that have been hospitalized and had surgeries have been released and are at home. But we want to remember Cliff Johansson. Now, he's more of Cliff and Janet usually come on Saturday night. He had surgery down in Dunedin, but he's been released. But Pastor Tammy's wife, June, was hospitalized. She ended up having surgery this past week. Pastor Arndt's wife, Pam, was also hospitalized this past week, and she had surgery. Everybody is just fine. And then Denise Hackman was also hospitalized. For the moment, they're all home. For all I know, we've got others that are in the hospital that we don't even know about. When that does happen, do make sure that you get word to us here at the church that somebody is hospitalized so that we can take the opportunity also both for visitation and for prayer in the midst of all of that. So we continue. We've got some wonderful things that are going to be moving us on here in the fall, not the least of which is here in just in the next couple of weeks. We are going to be, because I was asked by a couple of people, are we going to be celebrating LWML Sunday the way that we usually do? And the answer is yes, the first Sunday in October. Also remember that we do continue with one service this month and then again next month. The two-service arrangement is supposed to go between November and April, but so at least here through the month of October, we will again be just staying with the one service. I had put something in a congregational email about, and I apologize for the confusion, our Sunday services. Today is the third Sunday of the month, and we're going to be celebrating the sacrament. But in the midst of all of that, it's kind of like we actually have some confusing times when we have two services, and the first of the month falls on a Sunday. When that happens, there's always some confusion. We'll get through it the best that we can, but very simply, it's the same thing. When we have communion on Sunday on one weekend, we'll have it on the opposite weeks for Saturday, so that we're always celebrating communion at one of our services every weekend, but not necessarily the same service. And so sometimes we have to move the schedule around a little bit just so that we can accommodate that. So as you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus says the Lord God, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. Now I ask you before God who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God by what you have done, and by what you have left undone, and deserve his wrath and punishment? If so, then declare by saying, I do confess. I do confess. Indeed, we should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? If so, then declare by saying, I do repent. I do repent. Indeed, we should repent as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman at the feet of Jesus, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace, for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? If so, then declare by saying, I do believe. I do believe. Indeed, we should believe, for Holy Scripture declares, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will from this time forward take up the battle against sin in your life and live that forgiven life in the light of Christ? If so, then declare by saying, I do promise. I do promise. And as you confess, repent believe, and promise, so let it be unto you. It is my privilege and joy to announce to you that Jesus has taken away your burdens by his death and resurrection. According to his own command, I called as pastor and servant of the word, declare that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us, that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing in the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and all the uninhabited places. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they will feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, and because you push aside with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince amongst them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. St. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in faith. Grace, mercy, and peace come from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as those who were to believe in him for eternal life, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Long ago, at many times, in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And please stand as a sign of resurrection assurance. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you.
Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words once again. "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Friends, it's hard to ignore, even if you're not much into sports, it's hard to ignore what's going on in this area, especially this time of year, because there is so much of it that's going on. A football team has just started its new season, in fact, a couple of them. A baseball team is closing in most likely on being able to go and play again in October, and all kinds of wonderful things. And because that stuff is all over the news, as I said, even if you're not really into that, it's there. You see it. And when you live close to a city like Tampa, well, that's going to be part of the reality of what we have here. A lot of those kinds of things. Now, of course, the old cliche is everybody loves a winner. Problem is that ultimately, well, you know, you've got different teams that are winning. There can only be, when it's all said and done, one winner. And a lot of, okay, if we have to use that word, losers. But you know, there are certain cities that it seems like they get far more use, not just to having a loser, but the ultimate loser. Just as you need somebody that ultimately is going to finish first, there has to also be somebody that is going to finish last. And I'll tell you, watching a team that is in last place just is not fun, and not many people really like to do it. Well, of course, you know, every season brings something a little bit different. Okay, you finished last one year, it doesn't mean you have to finish last the next, and every once in a while, you will get that story of that team that, for whatever reason, the previous year, nothing went right. The next year, it seems everything goes right, and you actually get a worst to first. I'll never forget this. As I was growing up as a teenager, there were several Class A baseball teams around in a league called the Midwest League. The team that we followed the most, mostly because most of the people in my community worked in that city, was in the city of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And when I was a teenager, sure enough, there was that one year they were associated with at what that time was called the California Angels. and they finished last. And their attendance kind of reflected it. Nothing had gone right. Then when the next season started, it seemed like things only went from bad to worse. They lost 6 of their first 7 games that next season, and in the process, they lost not just one, but 2 of the organization's supposedly best catchers, suffering some kind of injury where now they're out for the year. Now, this is just Class A. I mean, usually, if something happens in the upper ranks, you just call somebody from underneath. But there really wasn't much of an underneath to bring another catcher up. So there was this guy who had done some catching, mostly in high school. He was a backup first baseman, and they just decided to keep most of the players from the previous year because they weren't paying a lot of money for them, and they felt like maybe there was a chance for some of them to develop. So this guy moves from first base to behind the plate, and all of a sudden, everything starts going right for the team. This guy becomes an instant star in the city. He can't do anything wrong. He is playing his position the best of anybody in the league. He is hitting like nobody's business, and all of a sudden, the team starts winning, and sure enough, they go from worst to first. And it was one of the most exciting stories that kind of even reached into Major League Baseball, how those things can actually happen. Now, there's only 2 problems with a worst to first. Especially, now, that's much more the case here at what would be in the Tampa area, a major league team. If you were worst last year, no matter what it is that you're going to do this year, a lot of people aren't even going to notice. I have seen more of those worst to first stories where here it is, they're up in first place or close to it, because of what happened last year, nobody's going to their games. Nobody notices the incredible things that are taking place. And in this world, a worst to first is fleeting. Like I say, yeah, there's a different season every year. And sure enough, that team that pulled the worst to first, the next year, all those players got promoted up to the next level, and the team that came in behind them went and resumed their normal spot in last place. Well, when it comes to our salvation, we would like a better outlook. And indeed, through Jesus Christ, we have one. But make no mistake, what we started out as was truly a loser. Even St. Paul wanted to make it clear, we're not just talking a sinner here, I am the foremost of sinners. You want to go look for a sinner, you're not going to find one worse than me. I was an insolent opponent. I was one of the most offensive, disgusting people you would ever meet because the very source of my salvation I was fighting against. But are we different? We also are people that somehow or another, even in the midst of understanding the grace that God gives to us, somehow want to consign to ourselves. We want to make it almost like somebody making a prediction of where we're going to finish. And if we've been predicted that this person here is a loser, we're going to try to make ourselves live up to that by the things that we do, almost forgetting what Jesus Christ has done for us. He paid that price. He was willing to take all of that punishment, all of that suffering that was supposed to go to me and to you, and instead had it placed upon him. Yes, this was somebody who was God's own son. We talk about worst to first. Well, in the case of God's Son, it was exactly the opposite. He went from first at the right hand of the throne of God to worst, becoming as one of us, and then becoming despised as one of us, and becoming crucified as one of us, and eventually being killed as one of us. But then when he rose from the dead, he defeated all of that. And what he did was then he gave to us that prize, that trophy, where we who had been worst have now had a true story where we've gone from worst to first. But just like as that process is going through, and all of a sudden you've got that first place team. Well, does anybody even notice? Does anybody even bother to check this wonderful, exciting team out? Do we check out what it is that Jesus has done for us? Do we become engaged in what the Lord has done for us? It is sometimes difficult for us to be able to truly put behind us some of the sins that have burdened us through life. It is very difficult sometimes to just say, you know, it's time to leave that alone. There was that time in the Old Testament when the angel of death, on the night that the children of Israel were released from Egypt, where the angel of death literally passed over them. And that's what Jesus does. He passes over our sins in forgiving silence, where all of a sudden, as we heard in the hymn, they are forgotten. They are no more. It's like they never existed. And all that is left is a relationship where now, as God has drawn himself to us, now what are we going to spend each day of our lives doing? Today, or tomorrow, or someday here in the very near future, each of us may get called to eternal life. Who's to know? Aside from God himself, of course. But on the assumption that virtually all of you, if not all of you, are going to be still here with us, and still here in the pews next week and the week after, how do we live our lives? Well, if we've gone from worst to first, we're taking a first important step. Remember what Jesus was able to do. And he talked about it where he goes in and talks about, look, you can imagine the lengths that people go to when they lose a sheep or they lose a coin. And he even just in the last couple of weeks had even talked about when he was asking, well, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And then he made his point. If an ox or maybe even your own son falls into a hole, are you going to let something like the Sabbath stand in the way of getting it out? Now, of course, perhaps all of the examples that he had to use on the people were based on things that provided some sort of monetary support for the people, whether it was an ox, whether it was a sheep, whether it was a coin. But still, the most valuable thing that God gives to us is our faith. And it's the salvation that sustains that faith and is our relationship to him, where he has come to us and he gives us the opportunity to come now to him. And what happens? What happens is truly a celebration. As you watch first place being clinched by different teams, sometimes just for a division or something like that, you're going to see that there is always, whether they let you see it or not, there is always some kind of a celebration. Well, for you who have repented of your sins, for you who has been willing to lay them at the foot of the cross, there is joy before the angels of God. A celebration. A genuine party, if you will. Genuine joy and singing for you. Because you are truly worthy of it, because you have gone from worst to first in the eyes of God. He has put you right in front, and maybe there are many other people, 99 million times over again, but nobody is more important in the kingdom of heaven than you and what you have been willing to do in response to what the Savior did for you. We're going to live our lives struggling. There are going to be so many things that are going to distract us. And in fact, even as we have made ourselves the worst of sinners, we're going to continue to try to find new and creative ways to walk away from God. But He will not give up His search for each of you. He has decided you are worth it. He has made up His mind that since God so loved the world that He was willing to give His only Son, that Son is willing to say that no matter who it is, you believe in Him, you have everlasting life. Yes, my friends, there may be some worst to first stories in this world, but they don't last long. But your worst to first story means that we get to be the children of God forever, living our lives in Him in this life, preparing ourselves knowing that there's a celebration in heaven by the angels of God over our repentance, and then preparing for an even greater feast. A feast where Jesus Himself will join us at table so that we can enjoy the true rewards of being awarded that ultimate prize, first place in the kingdom of God. Congratulations. And may God continue to bless our lives as we wait for Him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. In our service folders, you're up on the screen now. We have got a special version of the Apostles' Creed. We call it the Baptismal Confession of Our Christian Faith that we will do from time to time. So please stand as we confess our faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you this day acknowledge the gifts that God gives in holy baptism?
Yes, I do renounce.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I do renounce.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Please note the special prayer response that we are using up on the screen as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord our God, we rejoice that we can stand in your presence and to come before you in prayer and in praise and thanks for your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who has shown us your power and glory, who has enabled us to see your majesty and might in the creation around us. We thank you that you have given to us all things, that we find joy in the coming of each new day, and that we rest in the peace of each night. We give thanks for your providence as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Above all else, we thank you for the gift of your only Son, Jesus Christ, for revealing yourself and your saving love to each of us who are the worst of sinners through him. We praise you that through his holy life, his innocent suffering and death, and his glorious resurrection, through him we now have the complete forgiveness of our sins, the power to conquer evil, and the sure gift of eternal life. Help us always that we may be able to find our path through life as you light that light for us in faith and in service. We give thanks for your power as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for your church. Rule and direct it to accomplish your purposes and plans. Make it alive by your grace, that it may seek to praise you in every good work. And uphold those that serve in leadership positions. Bless those who will be asked to serve as leaders in the years to come. Help each one of them and all of us to know and follow you and your will, that we may be able to move forward with what it is that you would have us do as your people. We give thanks for your guidance as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Bless our homes. Guide all parents that your word and will may have pride of place in their lives. Remind all of us to live in the light of your word and to continue to grow in that word as we seek out the life that is the life of yours, the life that you have lit the path for, the light that always brings us closer to you. We give thanks for your light as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are facing hardship, sickness, suffering, danger, bereavement, loneliness, or any struggle of body, soul, heart, and mind. Along with those that we have lifted up before you, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the help and comfort that comes only from you, that we now name in a moment of silence. Fill their lives with your grace and hold before them your perfect peace. We give thanks for your healing as we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. You have shown your mercy to us and given your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You once proclaimed your saving promise to the prophets of Israel, and you have shown the good news of your saving promise fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we, who have been instructed in the teaching of the apostles, may faithfully set forth as we eat his body and drink his blood, declaring his salvation to all the world. Hear us as we pray for the sake of Jesus Christ, all of those prayers that we lift up before you for his sake. Amen. We now sing the words of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord, you sanctify and guide us in all truth to know you as our Savior, Jesus Christ, along with the Father whom you have known, as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. On the top of page 8 in our service folders is Luther's morning prayer. Please stand as we close in prayer together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Bless we the Lord. And now go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen. I do want to let everybody know that coming up in just a few weeks for the month of October, we're going to have another name tag month. And in fact, we've got some special instructions we're going to be carrying out for name tag month next month that'll involve us taking a name tag home with us and hopefully bringing it back for somebody else that can put the name tag on them. So I know sometimes those are a little gimmicky, but I like doing that through the month. So the month of October, name tag month, we'll get ourselves ready for that. Friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.